All right, good evening. We'll be in 1 Corinthians this evening, 13, not in order. This was I was led of the Lord to go here, so 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Some portions of the Word of God are meant to be considered often, committed to memory, to be mused upon, and also written upon our hearts. This is one of those places in the Scriptures. We'll go ahead and read verses 1 to verse 6. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So that speaking, knowing, and doing without charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity is implied in verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not selfish, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Let's pray. Father, please encourage our hearts tonight. Father, may we see this most beautiful attribute of the love of Christ, charity. Love, this agape, special love, which does not originate here in the earth. It comes from thee, O God. I pray that it would be in each one of us. Father, I pray that we would have fervent charity among ourselves. I pray that we would possess this love of Christ within us. We profess faith in Christ, and so we should possess this love. We need your grace, O God, that it might abound in us, that the love of Christ might abound in each of us, Lord. As Paul told the Thessalonian believers, the charity of every one of you all aboundeth. May it be so for us, O God. Speak to us, Lord, as you spoke to me today. Speak to me again, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Corinthians is one of those portions of the Holy Scripture that we ought to resort to often. It is a description of the love of God personified. You know what personified means? That it comes out in a person. And it should come out in the soul of every child of the kingdom of Christ. This should be in every one of us. We should live our lives charitably and with the love of Christ. We're currently going through the Beatitudes on Sunday evening over at Macedonia. And the Beatitudes, as you all know, they're spiritual virtues, spiritual attitude, graces that should exist in the heart and life of not only exceptional Christians. See, we might look at those and think, well, I can't do those things. That's not me. Well, it needs to be us. We must never look at a portion like 1 Corinthians 13 or like the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 and say, well, I just don't measure up. It's not about you measuring up. It's about you having Christ in you. It's about the life of God in your soul coming out. And so these spiritual graces should exist not only in the life of exceptional Christians, but really in the life of every Christian. Here is 1 Corinthians, or here in 1 Corinthians, rather, is a description of how the love of God ought to look in each one of us. It ought to look like this in you. It ought to look like that in me. In fact, in John 13, you can just listen. John 13 and verse 34, the Apostle John wrote this, and these are the words of Christ. He said this, he says, in 13:34, a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's a tall order. That you love one another. And Jesus says, the same way that I love you, that you love one another. By this, by what? By this conspicuous love that you should have, shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So think about that. And listen, those verses are easy to understand, but we need to slow down and we need to really realize what the Lord's saying. It's like when he tells a husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Tall order. But listen, where God or Christ gives, when Christ gives commands, he will give the ability, the capability. Yes, I don't have it in and of myself. And we won't love like Christians ought to love with this agape love unless we seek by faith unto God to enable us to do so. We have to have a desire to have that love in us. And listen, this is nothing new. Leviticus 19, I'll read you Leviticus 19 and verse 18. If you want to listen for the sake of time, verses 19, 18, and then verse 24. Here, Moses writes, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And then in verse 34 of the same book, he says, but the stranger that dwelleth with you, this is Old Testament Israel, the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself. And that's another place where we need to stop, because we're taught in the New Testament also, love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, how do you love yourself? You love yourself pretty good. We love ourselves. And if we loved others the way we loved ourselves, we treat everybody probably pretty well. That is, unless we mistreat ourselves. But generally, we love ourselves. It's not wrong to love yourself. One of the characteristics of loving yourself is loving your own soul and coming to Christ. But he says, and thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And then Romans 12:9, two references in Romans, these love references. You know, there's so much hatred and contention and strife in the world right now. I mean, you could see it. It ought to grieve you when you see it. It grieves me when you see how much hatred there is, envy, strife, contention. But knowing that and seeing how radically different the world is than children of the kingdom of Christ, there ought to be something radically different about every one of us, and this ought to be one of those things, the love of Christ in us. Romans 12:9, if you're there, he says, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, let it be genuine and sincere. Don't be a fake. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And that means you take the lead, put others first, show your love in that way. And then Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything, but here's what we do owe everyone. He says, owe no man anything, but owe them this, to love them, to love one another. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment that is briefly comprehended in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The second table of the law, when you obey those commands, you're loving your neighbor by not bearing false witness against them or coveting their stuff or killing them or hating them. Verse 10, love worketh no ill toward his neighbor. You say, well, that's impossible. Why? I want to be that, and we ought to want to be that, where I work no ill toward my neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. But let the words of Christ sink down into your ears and hearts from John 13. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. By this love shall all men know. But back to 1 Corinthians 13. In context, 1 Corinthians 13, it springs forth from what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 12, specifically to those in the church who esteemed and desired certain gifts from the Spirit of God. They exalted the gift rather than God. Paul wanted them to get off glorying in certain gifts or boasting in certain gifts and turn their hearts toward that which made the gift and the use of it acceptable in the sight of God. And God's the one that gave the gift. What did Paul teach in chapter 13? Forget the gift, because if it's not practiced out of true love for Christ, and if it does not bring honor and glory to him, then it is a worthless gift and a worthless ability. The Corinthian church was full of those that possessed an abundance of knowledge and gifts. Paul says that at the opening of the epistles in chapter 1, in the opening of the Corinthian letter in chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched in him in all utterance and in all knowledge, so that you come behind, or even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, first, in verses 1 to 3, Paul teaches us that the gift, this the first gift, he teaches us about eloquent speaking, or the ability to teach and preach the word of God. And he teaches us that it is in itself meaningless if it is not accompanied and or expressed from a heart of love to Christ in the heart of the speaker. Though I can utter words and preach the truth of the gospel, if I have not charity or a love for God and a love for those that I am preaching to, Paul says, I am nothing more than a loud and empty noise. Useless noise. He says there, a tinkling cymbal. There is more than one way to speak the truth, you know. But there's one right way to speak it. I say there's more than one way to speak the truth. The truth is spoken in many ways, let me say it that way. But there's only one right way to speak it. We can be sinful with the truth, even contentious, proud, vindictive, and hurtful with the truth. Or, as Ephesians 4:15 teaches us, we can speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, Paul said to the Corinthians, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so, brethren, we ought to speak the truth in love. And then we won't be useless noise. Second, in verse 2, he says, though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries of the scripture, I possess a complete knowledge of the truth, and on top of all of that, I have faith to remove mountains. That is, I have momentous faith I'm able to remove mountains by my faith. If I have not charity, the scripture says I am nothing. And listen, this is not a bad place to be for you and I. That is to have a good understanding and knowledge of the mysteries of Christ. That's not a bad place to be. But to possess and be gifted with these spiritual treasures without possessing charity or love to Christ is to be full of knowledge about God, but at the same time destitute of genuinely knowing God. See, 1 Corinthians 8:1 says of knowledge, knowledge puffeth up. One of the graces that we'll get to is charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. So our knowledge should not puff us up. Our knowledge of Christ should beget in us more love to Christ and more love to our neighbor. In fact, 1 John 4:7-8, don't turn there. John says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. See, if we want to have the real knowledge, knowing God will be seen in how we behave toward our neighbor. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And so to the first two, I may have an eloquent tongue. I may be able to speak with the tongues of angels, but if I have not charity, I'm just noise, useless noise. I may understand all mysteries and have all knowledge in the scriptures, but if I have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I could give abundantly of all of my goods to feed the poor and needy in the world, but if in all of my alms and good deeds I have done them without true love to Christ and love for those that I am doing them for, it profits me nothing. See, God does not and will not honor it. For it was not done to magnify and honor him who is the greatest and most benevolent of givers to the needy and to the poor. See, we are to be reflections of God in our sacrificing of ourselves, in our giving of ourselves. Paul even says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He speaks of the Corinthians who gave of themselves. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3, he says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but notice they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us, really, and then unto us by the will of God. And so they did it in a manner in which glorified God. And so back to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. So this little section can be summed up in this statement. Speaking, knowing, and doing, or possessing the most glorious gifts without true love, which comes from God, and what that is, it's nothing and of no use to God. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for you. What does charity or love that comes from Christ look like in a human life? What does it look like in us? Think about this in regard to charity or this exceptional agape love of Christ that should exist in every one of you if you're born again. Think about it. This love should most visibly be seen or be most visibly seen and practiced in our lives. Now, listen, it's easy for you all to love me. Maybe it's not. It's easy for us to love each other because we love each other, right? But listen, this love is most visibly seen and practiced in our lives when we are confronted and tested by the most extreme and radically opposite behaviors that exist in the world. When we're confronted with hatred, the love of Christ in us should come out of our lives, when it is met with hatred, strife, selfishness, contention, pride, lying, deceit, you name it, that's when the real love for Christ comes out. And why do I say that? Because that's how every one of us treated Christ before we were saved. And he still demonstrated his love toward us. Again, it's easy to love when we are loved back. But now love those that hate you, or love those that hate your Lord. That's real love. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet hateful sinners, Christ died for us. He gave himself for us while we hated him. And that's, brethren, who we should be. That's what should be coming out of our lives. We should be radically different than the world. The love of the world is quid pro quo. I love you because you love me. The love of Christ is simply to love because it's right to love. Ephesians 4 says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. In other words, walk worthy of your calling as a Christian. How do you do that? With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. Paul goes on to the Colossians. He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, we'll see that in a second, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on agape love, charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So charity suffereth long. That's the first grace that Paul speaks of here. It's long-spirited. We just read it. It's long-suffering. It's forbearing. It's the fourth fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. So first, charity suffereth long. So if you possess this agape love, you will be long-spirited, especially with those that it's hard to be long-spirited with. Listen, if there's somebody like that in your life, God has put them in your life to refine your charity, the love of Christ in you. Charity is kind. We just read it. It's gracious. You know what it means to be gracious, right? Every one of us should be gracious and kind. It means to be polite and courteous no matter what the situation. Our God is our great example. The Bible says in Luke 6:35, he is kind or gracious to the unthankful and to the evil. That's us. So he gives us the example. And then he goes on to say, be therefore like your Father. Be like your Father in heaven. You ought to be like a chip off the old block. The Bible says of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, in her tongue is the law of graciousness. Kindness. In her tongue is a law of kindness. So charity suffereth long. Charity is kind. Charity envieth not. Envy leads to jealousy. Envy is jealousy, rather. Envy and jealousy lead to hatred. The Pharisees' envy and jealousy of Christ led to their hatred of him. They delivered him up because they envied him. Those who possess the love of Christ should not and must not allow the spirit of envy to rise up in their spirits. If it does, it's one of the rottenest and most poisonous of all attitudes that could exist in the believer. Envy and the love of Christ, they cannot coexist in the same spirit. They cannot be there at the same time. Listen, we were these things, envy. In fact, Titus says in Titus 3:3, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish and disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. See, it was the kindness of God that saved us from our sins. So charity suffereth long, it's kind, it does not envy, it does not vaunt itself or puff itself up. It's not a braggart. B-R-A-G-G-A-R-T, a braggart, it's an archaic word, means a boaster, one swollen with self and pride. One who possesses the love of Christ will not behave this way. Again, 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge puffeth up. Our knowledge as a Christian should not puff us up. It should bring us lower. It should bring us to a place of humility. It should build more love to Christ in us. Psalm 10 says, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his own countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. And so charity does not vaunt itself. It doesn't puff itself up. You know, like the blowfish. You ever see the blowfish? That's the proud person. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. That is, it doesn't behave rudely, which is very unbecoming and not a representation of the person of Christ. Christians are not rude persons, but they are, as previously said, kind and gracious in all settings and in all situations. If somebody yells at you, you don't yell back. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. A soft tongue breaketh the bone. It quells that violence that might rise up. So we should not behave unseemly, even when someone behaves rude or unseemly toward us. Charity seeketh not her own, means is not selfish. Those who possess the love of Christ within will not be self-centered or selfish, but they will look to every other person and see what their needs are. Romans 15:1 actually tells us that. It says, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. That's not being selfish, it's being selfless. And we should be selfless people. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me, the scripture says. Hereby perceive we the love of God, John says, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to selflessly lay down our lives for the brethren. That's who we ought to be. So it's not selfish. And then I like this one, probably my favorite in these descriptions of the love of Christ or this agape love is not easily provoked. Is not easily provoked. James says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It's the wisdom of a man to defer his anger. We should not be those that heat up quickly. The love of God, the love of Christ should govern our spirits, brethren. And then I guess I maybe love this one even more. Thinketh no evil. When our hearts are full of the love of Christ, true love in our hearts will restrain us from giving an ill opinion of someone else or thinking evil things. But more than that, as our verse teaches, charity or love to Christ from within will stop us from thinking evil thoughts. Thinketh no evil. He that is of a faithful spirit will conceal a matter. Listen, that's where one of the biggest battles are for all of us, is in our thoughts. Better to only think it than to think it and to speak it. That's where we need to fight and captivate those thoughts. And then finally, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Christian, this love of Christ should be conspicuous in every one of us. We should never rejoice in iniquity. At the end of Romans 1, after Paul writes down that catalog of sins, he says there in Romans 1 and verse 32, he says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, they do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. They rejoice in iniquity. We should be the complete opposite of that. We rejoice not in iniquity. We should be that second beatitude. Blessed are they that mourn over their sins. Sin should bring sorrow to us. That's why Christ was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And so, brethren, just a short primer in this 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And just to dust off that beautiful grace, that beautiful attribute, that beautiful gift from God that we should all have, and that's His own love within our own hearts, that agape love. I pray the Lord would give you good thoughts of that. And I pray that, brethren, you, as well as me, I pray we would demonstrate that in the world as we leave these doors tonight. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, we ask for your blessings. Oh God, I pray that each of us would have this beautiful charity, this love. And Father, we would demonstrate it in our own lives. Oh God, help us. Like that new commandment that the Lord gave his disciples, a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this love shall all men know that you are my disciples. Help us, Lord, please. Oh God, help us to be able to communicate genuinely the truth of this love of Christ to a lost and dying world. Help us to communicate it in the gospel, which is the greatest demonstration of love that the world has ever seen. Help us, Father, as we dismiss. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.